Thank you, Professor Mann, and thank you, colleagues. The introduction is been done. Before I start, one will want to ask cosmologically the importance of white holes. We know that white holes, they don't exist astrophysically, but then cosmology tells us there is only one white hole that ever existed, and that is the Big Bang, because white holes actually extract the matter. And my research actually is to using the theory of black hole, in this case white holes, to study in detail in totality the physics of the very early universe. And my presentation that was supposed to be last week on thermodynamics of white holes encompassing the thermodynamics of the universe, we got interesting results there. So just to highlight the importance of white holes in a cosmological setting. So in our case, in today we're going to study the quasi-normal modes of white holes, and see what interesting results we get. The quasi-normal modes theory has been studied in over a period of time in the literature by a prominent physicist, but the results that they got was the quasi-normal modes for black holes, and the first results were by Rega and Wehner, and then followed by Zereri, and then Chandrasekhar, and then Baden Press, using the Penrose formalism. And then in our case, we will then attempt to study, I mean to calculate the quasi-normal modes of white holes. To understand the physics of what we are doing, if you look at the Penrose diagram, as I said, the if you look at the quasi-normal modes of black holes, looking at the boundary conditions and the locations the boundary conditions and the locations of the boundary conditions to differentiate the boundary condition of Schwarzschild white holes and the Schwarzschild black holes. If you look at for the Schwarzschild black hole, you look at the hypersurface, the boundary conditions is between I naught and then the event horizon here, and then for the Schwarzschild white hole, the boundary conditions in between the event horizon and the J here. J here, we'll see what does it mean in the language of Bondi Sarge. And then the formalism, the Bondi Sarge formalism that we use, Bondi Sarge formalism, it's a natural formalism to study gravitational waves, gravitational radiation. And then the various groups in where Professor Nigel was involved, they did a sterling research in terms of black hole binaries and all of those things using these other people. They use other formalisms. But in this formalism, the coordinates are such as described as this, where U is a hypersurface, it's a constant hypersurface, and then the R is the it's a surface radius, and then the XA is the null race. And if you want to look at coordinates, Bondi such coordinates, this is the pictorial depiction of. If you look at, for example, from the null cone, the U, as is depicted here, and then you've got the null rays, and then you've got the meta distribution, which is the blue, the enclosed blue shaded there, and then you've got the Weddell tube, this the whole cycle in reds, and then you have the the time like surface geodesics of the Weddell tubes, which is this this cylindrical bars, the red cylindrical bar. So this is pictorically the coordinates description of the formalism, and then the metric in this formalism is represented by these representations here, where the Bondi metric variables, the W, the U, and the beta, they're function of some sort, and then we'll see, and then you have the H, H8B, which is a two conformal metric, which represent a 2 degrees of freedom of the gravitational waves, the plus and the cross polarization, and then the U here is the complex spin weighted of weighted field, and then the social space time in this formalism, we take B to be zero. If you look at the B here to be zero, and then we take the W to represent the social mass, which is minus two. Or if in a general setting, beta can be a BC constant, and then the beta and then the W can be represented by that. So that's the general form of the social space time in this formalism. Now we're gonna now in the next slide, if you can see, now we're gonna consider the problem. We're gonna consider a dynamic spherical meta distribution in the social background, and then where the meta density varies with time and angular position. Now after we do that, and then we have to, of course, then we have to derive the linearized Einstein equations because of we want to study the gravitational perturbations. So linearity is very important there. So when you do that, we regard the density metric, the density and metric quantities to be very small, with W to be minus 2m. M is the mass of the shell, and some constant where and then also then we assume the answers to linearize the Bondi search metric. The J here, it's contained the gravitational wave information, and then you have the U there, and then you have the beta, and then you have the W. The J, the people who do numerical relativity, because of all this emanated from that group, Professor Nigel group, the black hole grand challenge of many years. So the interest was in the J, where then you can calculate the news. The news function, if you can allow me to go back, looking at this, the Penrose, the N here is the news, is the boundary condition of the this is at infinity, the boundary condition at infinity J, and then here you've got, so our problem is going to be a boundary problem. So we're going to concentrate on this news here. Then you look, you see here the Z here on this linearized Bondi-Sarge metric variable, the ZLM is actually the spherical harmonics expressed in terms of the usual basis, the basis functions. It's much more convenient in this setting to work it this way, to work with the Z as spherical harmonics. It makes the calculations very, very neat and tight. And then the when you do that, when you apply this the ansatz and then the spherical harmonics, the vacuum equations decomposes into, in this setting, in this framework, into hypersurface equations for the beta and the U and then the W, which contain the black hole mass, as we saw. And these are the equations. And also the evolution equations for J that contains the gravitational radiation information and constraints. I haven't written them explicitly because actually they are very long, but this is a general sort of a general form of this equation. Actually, they form a hierarchy as they are represented here. There's the hypersurface, and then you have the evolution, and you've got constraints. When you solve the hypersurface equations and the evolution equations, you got a system of ordinary differential equations. But then it's a little bit complicated. Then you have to, it's in the form of J2, J0 plus. So we have to, you have to define it this way to get it into this simplest form. And then you will see the main problem here now will be to calculate to determine the sigma here. This sigma here is what you will see, it's the value will be the quasi normal modes of a white hole, and you will see on the analysis later on. Our approach in this, you see that when I started, I mentioned the historical research on the quasi normal modes of black hole, mentioning Regewella and Zirelli. Zirelli, which is the even, they call it in the literature the even parity, the even parity. Various researchers they have used different techniques to calculate the quasi normal modes for that problem, and one of them is Lieber, and then he used the theory of three term recurrence relations. But now you will see that later on that in our case our approach will be similar to him. But in our case, we got four-term recurrence relations, and there's no theory to use to deal with that. And then you will see later on what techniques we applied to solve the problem. And then this is a numerical problem to solve this equation here. This is how we set up the problem is that the zero in this setting is represent infinity. The problem has been conformalize. The x is equals to 1 over r, r being the usual radial function. So then we work with the x with the conformal sort of a diagram as it's in the case as it shows in the Penrose, so that we're able to deal with infinity. So our infinity is zero, and that's where then we have an essential a singularity for the equation. And at x is equals to, at x is half of m, that is the even Hadron. That's how we've got the regular singularity there. So that's where everything seems to be smooth there. The problem is at x is equal to zero there. So then I think you have read it there. So the problem will be to calculate the sigma. And then so our problem now is that we've got, as I said, it's now translated into boundary problem, but we don't have the problem is that we don't have the initial values. So what do we do? As I said in the case of Lever, when he did the quasi normal modes for the black hole, even parity using the three-term regularization. Here we've got the four-term regularization. This is the series here, and then of course the idea then will be, and the solution around the singularity is described by J2X as that. And then the idea then will be to find a series solution. Once you have the series, we numerically find the solution, and then we evolve the solution towards any point. You will see in this case we will call XC. So in essence. And then we do the same thing on the regular singularity. So in essence, when you evolve these solutions, they should form a smooth graph. So similar to Lever, then we use the theory by Oliver. We use asymptotics. To get, we use the asymptotic theory to investigate this series solution. But then we need to transform. We need to transform this ODE, that ODE equation, into this form, and this is the transformation. We transform the X transform this way, right? And then have normalized the scaling. This is just to normalize the scaling, and we have set the mass of the black hole, I mean the mass of the hole, to be one, and then the solutions is expressed that way. These are the coefficients of the solutions. They have been calculated. We calculated this, represented by that. And then by the asymptotic theory, the J2 is expressed this way as LNZ plus ENZ, where LNZ is equals to this creature here. And then we define the residual, RNZ to be that, right? Just a numerical analysis problem. And then we obtain the bound the bound on E and Z, sort of defined by this quantity C, and then defined this C is defined it this way. So this is also is part of the theory. These are just the numerical procedure of the theory, and then we find the B. These are the beta. we find it to be this way. This beta is different to the beta of the Bondi search, which is numerically numerical relativity. Has something to do with the with the phase function shift. But in this in our case, then we take it as a metric, as a Bondi metric variable. But it's different to this beta here. And then we got the error bound to be defined by this creature, right? And then we had to find the error we have to find the error of the derivative of the error bound. Using the finite series to we use the finite series and we well, this is just how we when you do that, then we define the no, it's fine. This is just by noting that the derivative of J2 is equal to that. This is just and then the error bound, finally we got it to be this this is very important when we we'll be analyzing the accuracy of the quasi-normal modes, as you will see. And then this is a numerical implementation of this procedure. When you do that, we do the transformation. Day two, transform it as a UX is equal to this creature here. I'm going to label it because we're going to need it. And then we define a new variable VX to be defined this way. To transform it this way, and then noting that at small x, the vx and the vx and the ode transform into a recursive form. So in other words, the main trick for the essential singularity was to transform. I was to transform our equation into a recursive form. When you do it in numerical implementations, was to transform this creature here, this equation here. When you got it by transforming the ODE into this form using the asymptotic theory, but then when we implement it numerically. We have to transform this equation into a recursive form by doing this transform. So then into a recursive form, then you can use all the usual MATLAB solvers. Now it's much more handleable. And then on the regular singularity at the even horizon. Black hole of I will call it a black hole now because of you will see that when you get the results when you do the analysis, it turns out not to be of a black hole. Well, the result came by surprise, but when you do the analysis basing on the Penrose diagram I show you, you show that the boundary of the hypersurface of the hypersurface for the if you look at here for the white hole, the N is the hypersurface, so the boundary of the hypersurface is at the horizon and is at infinity, which is x is equals to zero. Whereas for the boundary for the hypersurface for the black hole is at I naught, and then so this is the pictorial picture what is happening. Sorry to go back and forth. So I'm here now. So now for the regular singularity, we make this transformation. We transform the x on our ODE to transform it this way. Right, to transform to act to S where else is equals to 1 minus 2x, and then the ODE transform into this guy here. And then because of the solution here is a bit easier, it's regular, so we can deal with this equation directly. So and then we see that this the series solution, series solutions for that equation have been calculated to be this guy here, and then here we just do the numerical implementation of the numerical implementations of the equations using this series solution recurrence relation as a generator for the initial data, and then evolve. So then we see that the radius of convergence of the above series is at s less than one, and then we noted that given sigma, the numerical evolution of coefficient and then of series is straightforward. I mean, it's because the solution is regular there, right? So now we're gonna take. Remember, then I said that then our task then once we have the when we have the series solution at both boundaries, and then we evolve the solutions, and then they should meet. We take the meeting point to be it can be any point in any point between the infinity x zero and the horizon. Then here we take it to be 0.25. And then we say that down here then we define the quasi normal modes, and then this is okay. This is and then say for okay, yeah, this is actually what I've been saying. Actually, we first of all we have to use the asymptotic series about zero to find the value of V naught, which is a variable for this for the Riccati, and then it's just an initial data. And then as defined, then we integrate numerically at the Riccati between x0 and x2.5 to obtain the complex number on that domain. And then we do the second part for the regular for x is equal to 0.5, and then we integrate the equation between the horizon and this midpoint, and then we find two complex numbers, right? Which is V naught, and then our definition for the quasi-normal mode is that the difference of the two, if it's zero, that is a quasi-normal mode. Because then you'll have a smooth graph then, and then when you do that, this is the list for L2 because L2 it's the quasi-normal modes that they are more for L2 the system the I mean this is a stiff ODE, so for L2 then your the causal normal modes the systems tend to be stable, but for L bigger than L3 you have oscillations, and then your system your results changes. So for L2, these are the, I mean, it's infinitely many of these. This is just a few five of those that we calculated, and then the the point of interest is on the fundamental mode, the smallest mode. Yeah, you see, when we do the analysis, for example, just the illustration of how we got to calculate this, you see that we have to calculate the G0, which is defined by G0 is V plus minus V, V minus. We had to, you had to calculate the values of this in this range and then plot, right? So what you do, this is an arbitrary range, right? And sigma is in this arbitrary where A is between 0.1 and 1.7. I mean, just, and then the B, the B for the imaginary is between 0.05 and 0.09. This is, and then we increment by 0.03. And then when you do that, you get a counterplot, counterplot, and then you see that the rate is for the real part of the complex frequencies, the causal normal modes, and then the green is for the imaginary. Now, where the green and the red meet, that is the value of the quasi normal modes. And then you see here, there are actually two quasi normal modes actually where this contour plots, the red and the green meet. And then the blue line here, above this is just the boundary where the solution, I mean the where the computations are pro, sort of the you've got oscillations on your solutions, and hence that they are reliable. And in this case, it could be, I mean, like you said, I mean, for L greater than 2, then you have a profound area here of where the quasar, I mean, the your solutions are oscillating. And then when you do that, this is the, and then let's say we take the smaller, this one here, the smaller one, right? The fundamental mode. And then we do the error analysis, right? These are just the actually values of the that you get for initial data variables that you must get to get the solutions for those series solutions in those boundary conditions. And then now what we do is that when you define the quasar normals as V plus and V naught as a function of a for example here, we will just read read by inspection, and then from there then you read two values, and then we use the second method, right? You use a second method to actually zoom in and do all your calculations, and it's going to settle onto this value here, onto the fundamental. So you do it, for an example, for the second one. So you will have two values, the V1, the V plus and the V naught, and then you plug it in into the second method. Then it's gonna do the calculations and it's gonna settle into this value here. 0.916 plus 0.630, and then you see here the error here, this second column here, the error here. I just elaborated again just to go here. How do we do it? We use different methods with different errors. We introduce the error, and we take the maximum steps. So you find that the results for all these four methods actually they lie on top of each other. Meaning, the value for the, let's say in this case the fundamental mode, actually the correct one, because all your methods will the graph will just lie on top. Just get the single you just get this single graph here. As you can see here, this is the your midpoint, and then your solution was evolved or integrated from here up until here, and then from this essential singularity, it was sort of your solution or your that the equation was integrated up until here, and you can see here it's a nice smooth where they meet, indicating that this is a quasi normal mode. And then when you, well, this is the error, so this is just how then we got the because we have to calculate to the exact, and then we calculated the error here, which is this error here. So that is that, and then you see that here, right? If we take the quasi normal modes of a black hole, that was determined as a long time ago by the likes of Regewilla, Zereli, Chandrasekhar. You take the usual known, the fundamental mode for L equals 2, and then you use it. You can take, for an example, just take by just say your v plus, it could be something closer to this, maybe 0.36 something and 0.07, and then your v sort of a v minus and say 0.08, and then plus 0.09, and then you plug it into the second method, you will see that this value here, as you see here, you don't get these solutions from both sides, they don't meet. These are totally disjoint. So what it says, the values that we got. Remember this. Just let me pause a bit here so that you understand the background of this problem. This thin metal shell problem. Let me just go back. I'll just go back. Right. This problem here. My Professor Nigel colleague constructed this problem with the aim of validating the numerical codes in numerical relativity, particularly the characteristic code and the Cauchy code So the solutions from this, then they will use it to to analyze the numerical codes there. But to the surprise, because then to the surprise, when you solve this, then we get the solutions for this for this second order ODE for the metal shell, that the solutions are not that of a are not that of the usual Schwarzschild black hole. And then, as you saw, that when we put in the solutions, the usual solutions for the Schwarzschild black hole here, I mean, you don't get a small graph when you integrate the and then the analysis for the problem, then it's in here to show that what is happening here is that the Newes function in the Bondi, the Newes function that carries the gravitational wave, meaning the gravitational waves goes from the boundary, I mean from the even horizon into infinity. That's another way to this is the N is the Newes is the hypersurface. So we are actually going from here to here, not from cave look at here. Where you see that the solutions, the quasi-normal mode solutions, they decay towards the infinity here, which is zero, and towards the even horizon. So this is just the pictorial explanation of actually, can I say motivating of validating the results. So that's where we are. And then yeah, so that's thank you. So thank you. Sorry that I go up and down. I just wanted, because this is a very a difficult problem, but at least now you appreciate it's got a lot of techniques that we use. But now we're able to, I hope you appreciate the talk. Any questions?
Questions, right? Oh, any questions? I'll start.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Can you go back to that contour graph, please?
Oh, okay. This
Yeah.
one.
So is
Okay.
I didn't get what you said. Is the are the key things of interest where the two curves intersect, the green and the red? Is that what you really want to get?
Oh, yes. Where they meet is actually the solution, the solution to the problem, the quasi-normal mode. And then, as you can see here, come
Yeah,
again.
the intersection is where both R and I vanish, so that's what you want, is that right?
Yeah, correct. Yes, correct. Yeah.
Okay. So then what I'm trying to understand in this graph is at the upper part, upper right, the red curves seem to terminate on the green ones. Is that correct? Are those red curves ending on the green ones? You know, just above the blue squares. See the little blue squares?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, above that, above the blue squares, not below, above.
Yes, above, yes. Yeah, this could be, this could.
Is that an intersection point of red with green? Or not? That's my question.
It doesn't, because remember, it could be, because remember this, there are infinitely many of these quasi-normals within this. It could be what we'll have to do then to see that you'll have to read in just by inspection, and then put in the those two values into the second method and see where it converges to. It could be one. I haven't used this value here to see if it could be a causal link.
I think that should be checked then, just to be sure, but okay. All right.
Yeah, it needs to be checked, yeah.
Any other questions?
I was curious.
Yeah, sure.
Is there any application of this research? I'm not super in depth in physics, I'm just wondering what that might look like. Like, what if I try to capture like that and then like something? It's a very vague question. It doesn't have to be answered.
Did you hear? You might need to speak up.
I can hear that. Excuse me.
Yeah, I knew that.
Thanks so much for the lecture. As a disclaimer, I'm not very involved in cosmology, but I was wondering what the applications of this research would be, just on a broad level.
Oh, yes. Yeah, thank you very much for questioning that. Remember, when I started the talk, I mentioned the first talk that I was supposed to give on the thermodynamics of white holes. But now if you look at the there's only one instance where a white hole can exist, and that is in the Big Bang. And we know that white holes, they don't exist astrophysically, meaning they don't exist from initial data as black holes. So then you know that at the Big Bang, it's a region of very 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 strong gravitational field, and then where you cannot the usual Robertson Walker cosmology, which is primarily the weak field theory, it doesn't apply there. So theory of black hole theory, it becomes a natural natural setup to study the physics of the Big Bang, and in this case you have if you apply the as in this case if you study the Big Bang singularity as a white hole singularity, in other words singularity vacuum in this case, then you will see in the talk I was then you will see that you are actually getting you see the problem is that there's no single algebra, there's no single metric that describe all the phases from the vacuum into de Sitter, inflationary, and into there's no single algebra, there's no single metric that and hence you find people they are studying these things in isolation. So in that paper is that then we studied the thermodynamics from pure physics. Big Bang. So it was all hot. It was all
signals breaking up.
That you got to constrain.
Okay.
Yeah. So the results. In a nutshell, I can say that when the Big Bang happens, there was some kind of a return quasi-normal modes, they give you actually they give you they give you the actual frequency on which you can say the Big Bang actually sort of ringed down when
he's muted. Emma, can you still hear us? You're muted.
Yeah. Yeah, is that clear? So the quasar normal modes actually, in cosmological settings, when the Big Bang happens, there was some kind of a shake-up of space-time, a ring down of a space-time. So then this gives you the frequency, the frequencies at which the you can say the Big Bang vibrated, the space-time vibrated. Just in summary.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Well, if not, let's thank Emma's again.
Thank you.